Yeah, here it is right here, Luke chapter 22. Peter replied, I'm at verse number 60. Peter replied, "Man, I don't know what you're talking about." And just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked at Peter, looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken, "Before the rooster crows today, you're going to disown me three times." I want to talk about thank God for the rooster. Thank God for the rooster. My first grandbaby and I, I used to play a little game with her to help improve her listening skills. And I would hoop, "Old MacDonald had a farm." And I'd get to the part and I would say, "And on that farm, he had a," and she'd have to come up with an animal because I would pause on the animal. And then I would say, "With a," and then she'd have to come in and fill in the blank of the sound of the animal. On MacDonald's farm, one of the favorite animals was the rooster. This is it's interesting because when you look in scripture, the rooster is mentioned quite a few times. We read over him because we don't pay much attention to some of the images that the Lord lifts up in scripture. But I do want to encourage you to thank God for the rooster. Back in my day, it was foghorn leghorn. That's back in our day. Makayla, that's who we got up early. That's who we got up early on Saturday to watch. And he was arrogant and he was big and he thought he ran everything. Sometimes he got in a number of good licks on the old hound dog, but on most cases, he wasn't as smart as he thought he was. Jesus uses this animal in an interesting way in this incident and narrative with Peter. The context of what has been happening, on one hand, an argument had broken out on who was the greatest. Whenever you spend too much time talking about yourself and your accomplishment, you might need a rooster. Peter wasn't ashamed. He was assertive. Peter was very confident in what he knew and what he thought he knew. And he argued with Jesus. And I would suggest that anytime Jesus says right and you say left, you might need a rooster. When you say things that you can't back up, you might end up with a rooster experience. Peter ultimately realized that it really don't make sense to argue with the Lord because he knows everything. He knows what we gonna do before we do it. And he loves us enough to tell us what we gonna do sometime before we do it, and then extend to us grace so that we're not devastated by what we do when we say we ain't gonna do it. Put an amen right there if you can. But I want to fast forward. Not only I want to get past what Jesus told him he was going to do and what was going to happen. And it's interesting because everybody records Peter's incident. Ain't that funny? Matthew records what Jesus said Peter was going to do, and Matthew records what Peter did after the fact. Mark, in chapter 14, 30th verse, he wrote down what Jesus said Peter was going to do, and then he hung around and wrote in the 72nd verse what Peter did. John wrote it down too. Everybody, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they all write about Peter's experience with the rooster. I can't spend time on this like I want to on this one little part. I'll give it to you for free. But you can bet that everybody will remember your rooster experience. KJ, the minute you put your foot in your mouth, everybody, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, all of them remember Peter's foot in the mouth experience. I was just reading because I was hoping that somewhere along the line they would include their own. Come here. It's interesting how people will spend a lot of time recording your foot and mouth experiences, but somehow in their own narrative, they leave out, Matthew, it's your book. Where's your foot and mouth experience? Mark, this is your testimony. Where's your foot and mouth? And it would lead you to believe that none of them got a foot and mouth experience. But I'm here to tell you, up in here, everybody, whether you include it in your biography or not, everybody got a foot in the mouth experience. But I want to share with you, you can thank God. There's a cause to thank God for the rooster. Here it is. Let me get going. Because what led to this? What caused Peter to lead to this whole thing in the first place? Here's my first point. Peter experienced, I believe, he was distraught after a failed fight. He was distraught after a failed fight. See, this night, there's a lot of pressure. This is an action-packed night where Jesus had already told he was going to be turned over and he was going to be handled roughly. But when it happened, Peter, being the brother that he is, ain't going to let nothing go down without a fight. And it was the Lord who stopped Peter from doing what he normally and naturally does. Because he's a fella, you hit me, I'm going to hit you back. You cut me, I'm going to cut you back. You hurt me, I'm going to hurt you back. And now Jesus is taking him to a whole nother level where he is not allowing him to do what he normally and naturally does. And Peter, I believe, is distraught because in his eyes, this is a failed fight. And when you look in the 54th verse of this same chapter, he ends up following from a distance. You're not gonna win every situation and circumstance. But here's what you gotta got to understand what Peter has done. Peter, because he wasn't able to fight, go through, and all of that, he's now following Jesus from a distance. He's close, but not too close. And the text says he's following from a distance. Now, Luke is the one that records that he's able to see what's happening to Jesus, but he's far enough away where he's not really engaged or involved. But what I want you to remember is that Jesus has already made a declaration on how this fight is going to turn out. See, you just like Peter. Because you should have been shouting right there, because for the child of God, the Lord has already told us how this thing is going to turn out. I see. I still got a question mark over here. Then, Reverend, how is it that we keep losing? Well, here's what you got to remember. You ain't lost the fight. You just lost a round. And there are some rounds where you might get knocked on your behind. Put an amen there if you can. There are some rounds where you might get surprised by an uppercut. But here's the truth. As a child of God, the victory has already been determined. It's already been written. All you got to do is read your book and keep on reading, and you're going to discover that as a child of God, ultimately, you can't lose. Come here, Paul. I wish y'all come to Sunday school, because in Sunday school, you would discover they threatened Paul one day. They said, Paul, we're going to kill you. Paul said, good. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. They said, no. Okay, we ain't going to kill you. We just go to arrest you and throw you in jail. Okay, to live is Christ, to die is gain. But if you don't kill me, and as long as you keep me alive, then I can preach for Christ. Either way, I win. Let me live, I'm going to preach from Christ, for Christ. Even in a prison cell, he got a captive audience. Let me die, I'm going to be with Christ. Either way, I win. As children of God, God has declared for us ultimate victory. And Peter doesn't realize he's just dealing with one round. You can be down and win in the same round. I was checking this out, and I checked out this video, and it was some names that I really couldn't remember, and it wasn't anybody that was really popular as far as I know. But I was watching this little boxing match, and I was looking at some of the greatest comebacks. And this one brother, he was getting the short end of the deal. Both of his eyes were puffy. And in the 10th round, he got knocked down twice. But he got back on his feet, and they did a count. And I heard him ask him, are you okay? He said, I can do it. And the guy came back. And he could hardly see, but one good punch caught his opponent on the chin. And I believe it surprised the opponent, but it also hurt the opponent. And the same guy who had been knocked down in the same round came back and got victory. I'm trying to help you up in here. There are some rounds where you might go down, but the victory has already been determined by Jesus Christ. If you just hang in there, and what we have is, we've got a fella who sure enough got knocked down. He got knocked down. Peter got knocked down. He got knocked down because of his pride, because of his arrogance, because of self-confidence. He got knocked down, but it was just one round, and he ends up following from a distance. Here's the next one. I believe he's distracted by a free fire. Let me show it to you. He's following from a distance, and he ends up hanging around a free fire. Come here, let me show you verse 50, 55. And when some there had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter, verse 55, sat down with them. And a servant girl who was seated there saw him in the firelight. Here's the deal. It's a free fire. But you need to know that all free fires aren't always free. I know this might be difficult for some of y'all because there's not too many of y'all up in here that enjoy camping. There's not many of y'all that enjoy hunting. I know this is not an audience with a bunch of woods people. These are people with thermostats. I know that. And y'all got remote thermostats. I know. Y'all got smartphones with thermostats on your phone. I serve a brother who started his car from my office and turned the AC on. I get that. But the image that's going on here is before there was thermostats on your phone and thermostats in your houses, and before solar, gas, and heat pumps, you had to build fires, because fires aren't free. Somebody had to collect the kindling. Somebody had to start the fire. And starting the fire is one thing, but sustaining the fire is something else. And when somebody has found the kindling, and somebody has found some wood, and somebody has gone through the effort of starting the fire, and not only have they started the fire, but they have sustained the fire, and now you've got this good fire going on in the middle of the court. It's a cold night. People don't have homes to go to, or either they're on assignment in the courtyard. They're hanging out at the fire. And it's interesting because in most cases, if it's a real good fire, I'm telling you, if it's a real good fire, you can't get too close. Matter of fact, let me invite you to a Rasco fire. We have a Rasco fire in Indianapolis first week in October. It's called the Rasco Bonfire, and they've been stacking wood for 6 months. And I got a little brother. He's always been a little fire. He about burned the house down, but something about him, he likes fires. He likes big fires. And we have a bonfire. He has a bonfire in celebration of his birthday. I'm talking about logs that are stacked some 6 feet, 6 feet high. And when he get that thing rolling, ain't nobody close to the fire. You gotta back off. And because that fire is hot, but it gets cool in the fall, but people love it. Hundreds of people come to the house, folk I don't even know. I talked to one little boy the other year, and I said, "Who are you?" He said, "I'm a friend of Bukinim." He said, this is the best. I wait all year for this. They put up a sheet on the garage, and you gotta walk in movie theater on one side, you got free food on the other side, you got a grown folk fire, you got a little folk fire, and then Charlie and them in the back got tents lined up all the way against the fence. And you know, he's a country boy, but he married a city girl. And so even though they got a fire, he also brings a generator because she has to have her TV and her fan in the elevated tent. So that, you got to see it to believe it. But my point is, it takes work for a good fire. And the bigger the fire, the bigger the circumference. And everybody knows that if there's space, you are welcome to come and enjoy the fire. But you got to be careful because not all free fires are free. Sometimes you need to know there's a cost to starting the fire, and there's a cost to sustaining the fire. But when you walk up to somebody else's fire, you end up, in essence, what he's trying to do, he's trying to blend in. He's trying to look like he's one of them. But even from the light, I like the text. The text says there's firelight. There's a difference, Lynn, from firelight and daylight. Daylight, I see you nice and clear because of the daylight, because of the sunlight. But firelight is a little different. But watch this. Even with the low firelight, they knew that he's a different person. They knew that he belonged to Jesus. They knew that he'd been running with Jesus. They didn't even have the sunlight, but they could tell that this brother is a different kind of brother. Come here. He's a different kind of brother. And while they're identifying him as somebody who's been hanging with Jesus, he missed an awesome opportunity. He missed an amazing opportunity. Daryl, here's Peter at a free fire with folk that don't know who Jesus is. Peter missed an amazing opportunity. Think about this audience. Think about what he could have said. See, the beauty of this thing is that he had an amazing opportunity to tell what he knew about Jesus. I'm trying to tell you, if he could have talked till morning just about what he knew about Jesus. He could have talked about how Jesus called him, how Jesus blessed his business. You do know Jesus blessed his business, don't you? Because one day he was fishing what? All night, hadn't caught a thing. And Jesus says, first of all, can I use your boat? And he used his boat. He could testify to say, hey, I was one of the first people that gave Jesus a pulpit. I loaned him a boat. What an opportunity, but he missed it. And then after I loaned him my boat, Jesus told me to go out and try it again. And I went back to the same place where I had failed all night, and I had success in the same place that I had failed. What an opportunity. He could have testified. Not only did he bless my business, but he blessed my family. My mother-in-law, bless her heart, she was sick. And Jesus raised her up off her bed, healed her without bare aspirin, healed her without going to the emergency ward, healed her without the benefit of the pharmacist, raised her up, and she felt so good that she got up the same day and fixed all of us something to eat. He blessed me as a person. He blessed my business. He blessed my family. One time, whoa, what an opportunity. We were in a storm, and Jesus walked on water to come to us in the storm. Watch this. But not only did he walk on water, he let me do what he did. I jumped out of a good boat, and he let me do something that I ain't never done before. Because he's a water walking God, and he'll let you do some stuff that other folk don't think you can do. He'll let you stand some places where other folk don't think you can stand. He missed an amazing opportunity. He could have talked about the time they were on the mountain in prayer. He could have talked about the time they were in the room and raised the girl from the dead. He could have talked about the time where he fed the multitude. He missed an amazing opportunity. When you get a chance to get around a free fire, don't miss the opportunity to share what you know about him. He missed it. He missed it. He missed it. What an amazing opportunity. Fires are beautiful, but it can also be a blessing when you use it to share what you know about him. Here's the last one. Now get on out of your way. I believe Jesus was distraught because of a failed fight. Ended up becoming distant. Jesus was distracted. Peter was distracted, I'm sorry, by this free fire. Tried to blend in. Missed an opportunity to share his testimony. When he was put on the spot, "Weren't you one of them?" he denied a faithful friend. And Jesus had told him what was going to happen. And when it happened, I want you to watch how the narrative is written. Because here's what ultimately happens. When that rooster crows, what Jesus did, Jesus gives Peter a brand new daily focus for his future. Jesus does something that only Jesus can do. He gives him something that will be a daily reminder to help him focus in the future. He didn't pick a hog. He didn't pick a dog. He didn't pick a cow. Jesus hooked him up with the benefit. Of a rooster. Hey, Bobby J, why the rooster? Because Jesus wants to make sure that Peter got something to focus on every single day. Junior, in the book of Proverbs, chapter 30, verse 30, it talks about four things that has a stately stride. Four things that has a stately stride. One of them is a lion, the king of beasts who ain't afraid of nobody. You know the lion, when he walks through, he don't say excuse me to nobody. Here's the second one. The second one, it's in the Bible, Proverbs 30 and 31. A strutting rooster. Because when the rooster struts, the rooster got something that none of the other chicks have. You can always tell the rooster because of what's on their head and what's on their tail. The rooster has a comb and a wattle, unlike any chicken. So you know automatically that if it's got a comb and a big wattle, it ain't a chick. It's a rooster. But if you can't tell from the head, you can always tell from the tail. Because he's got a tail that's totally unlike any other chick. He's got mole feathers. He's got fluffy feathers. He's got layered feathers, because you can tell from his head or his tail. And when he comes out, he always struts. He's got to strut for a couple of reasons. One, he struts to let everybody know he's still here. He's still here. The question that somebody asked, well, do you really need a rooster? I'm so glad the Lord fixed this. I'm so glad he picked the rooster. Because here's the truth. I have to remind the children at Joshua that you don't need a rooster to get eggs. You don't need no rooster to get eggs. The chicken has a reproductive system where they are designed to lay an egg every day without the benefit of the rooster. And so the rooster need to be careful, because you really don't need the rooster to eat every day. That's why folk were so quick to turn the rooster into dumplings when they acted a fool. Because we don't need you every day. We gonna get eggs with or without you. It's nice having you around, but act a fool and you'll go from rooster to dumplings. don't need you. Don't need you. Let you hang around if I want to, but don't need you. Strut and rooster. The lesson, be humble. Because we really don't need you. I heard you. Reverend, what about this crowing? Cock-a-doodle-dooing. Do they just do it in the morning? No. They don't do it. They don't just do it in the morning. There's a timer within them where they will do it in the morning. They do it in the morning as a sign to the rest of the crowd that I'm still here. That's one thing. They do it as an expression of their dominance. And sometimes they do it because they got to celebrate. Ask me after class. But every time they crow, they do it every day, sometimes all day. We had one that wouldn't shut up. He and the kids start laughing every time he was crowing. We had to send him up north. Because he just wouldn't shut up. But when this rooster crowed, watch the text and I'll be out of your way. Matthew, Mark, and Luke says it wasn't till the rooster crowed that Peter remembered. When the rooster crowed, Peter remembered what Jesus said. Jesus just said, hey, Harrison, Jesus said, you're going to deny me three times before the rooster crows. You know what? Hey, Art, I think if that rooster hadn't crowed, Peter would still be denying him. Because of where he was. It's as if Jesus says, I'm going to let that rooster crow at the third time to help you to remember what I said. It was the rooster that made him remember. And the text says, when he remembered, he remembered what the Savior said he was going to do. And then the Bible says that he wept bitterly. He was sorry. I close with this. Thank God for the rooster, because it's a reminder. Every morning when you hear the rooster, remember, it's a reminder to be humble, because anybody can fall. Here's my second one, and I'll be done. When you hear the rooster, it's also a reminder that you've been forgiven. Come here. You've been forgiven, and I got a brand new day. Watch what Jesus does for Peter. Because every day from now on, when he hears the rooster, it's a reminder, I'm alive and well. It's a reminder, it's a brand new day. It's a reminder, I've been forgiven. It's a reminder, God's not through with me yet. Wouldn't have happened if he chose the cow. Wouldn't have happened if he chose the pig. by the rooster. Because when that rooster crows, the sound Bobby, can't you see? It changed his life and made him remember from now on. Here's what it is. Say this and I take my seat. It's a sign to help you know, don't ever forget what he said. Because not only did Jesus say he was going to do it, but there was a promise that went along with it. He said, and Peter, you need to know I've already prayed for you. And when you turn back, here's what I want you to do. Strengthen the brethren. You're going to go the wrong way, but I done already prayed. And you're going to turn around. And when you come back to yourself, here's what I need you to do. Strengthen the brethren. Thank God that the Lord loves us enough to give us something that will help us remember his word. Amen. Amen.